Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And here we go. Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you. My co-host, Matt Hanifin. He's back, everybody. Like the 4-5. I mean, he's taking a page right out of Jimmy Butler's playbook. He might walk out on this podcast and get suspended indefinitely, just like Jimmy Butler. But let's hope that does not happen. But we are live. We're glad to be back. Matt has been around the world and back. I'm just kidding. Tell us, people, how you're doing and what you've been up to, Matt.
I've been doing good, man. I'm doing good. I was in Hawaii with my girlfriend for a few days. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. No, it was a very good time. Very good, you know, getting away from basketball, getting away from life.
Yeah.
Spending time with my loved one. Man, it was an awesome time, but I'm back. I can't tell you if I'm going to leave. It depends on how much we talk about, like, Ryan Kalkbrenner. No, I'm just kidding.
Kalkbrenner.
But nah, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. Ryan from the chat says, aloha.
Yeah, aloha. I very much enjoyed Hawaii if everything wasn't like $1,000.
Right. $35 bottle of water. $35 bottle of water.
Yeah, like it was like out of control. It's just like by the end we were both like, all right, this is we visited around Oahu, beautiful island. Highly right. Recommend everyone, you know, go and experience it at least once. But like by the end we were both like, all right, we
time to go.
Way too expensive for everything. Yeah, like it was just like this is. I ate so much food too. Like it was.
Yeah.
There's so many like different places over there that you could try, and it's just like how many times am I going to be in like Hawaii?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And so I don't think I've ever eaten as much food in like a week.
I heard that, man. That's a lot of food. My brother gets stationed over there, so he goes like all the time because he's stationed in Hawaii.
Yeah, like, and I mean, I'm a stick, so thank God I have, like, you know, good metabolism.
Two cheers for young metabolism.
Hey! Yeah, man. I can only, I have to use it while I have it.
That's right. Lose it or use it.
Yeah.
Wait, lose it or use it. I don't know. Anyway, we're moving on. Back to basketball. You are now back on the mainland, so we are going to talk hoops. Yep. Glad to have you back. We're going to talk about the newly minted Rising Stars list for the All-Star break in the NBA. We have the rookies that are near and dear to our hearts. Bob Carrington, Stephon Castle, Tristan Da Silva, Zach Edey, Dalton Knecht, Jared McCain, Eve Misi, Zachary Richichet, Alex Sarr, Jalen Wells. The G League guys, I don't even know why they're on there. What are your initial thoughts on the rookies side of things? Anything that stands out? Any person that you think is, you know, shouldn't have been on there or anything like that?
Well, the G League guys are on there because they have like their own separate team for the Rising Stars thing. At least right. I believe that's how it works. It's still a little fuzzy in my head. I mean, like Jared McCain's on there. Because he's been one of the better rookies, he's going to be an injury replacement. So
yeah,
I think the one omission that you and I maybe you thought the same thing, but at least I thought like the Khalil Ware's not on there. And we'll probably talk about him more in a little bit, but he was like a somewhat of a surprising omission in my head. Nothing else like is there anything crazy that doesn't stand out? Like,
no,
Wells and Edie are both on there.
Yeah, Wells deserves it.
Stars on there.
Let me ask you this: Wells, I think, deserves it, but would you take him over Ryan Dunn?
Yes.
Oh, that's big of you to admit that. I didn't think I was going to get that out of you.
I just think he's been more consistent.
No, I agree. I think he's definitely deserving. Do they do injury replacements? I think they do, Ryan. So Ware could still get in. And that's where I was going to go with this. Jared McCain is injured and he will not be back. So I don't think he is going to be. They're not going to just leave that spot vacant.
Right.
What else is really interesting to me for the G League side of things? Dink Pate, who's going to be in the 2025 NBA draft, is actually going to play in this game with the G Leaguers.
Showcasing himself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought of it from that end where that's a really unique opportunity to showcase yourself to all of the GMs in the league. Now, there's a caveat to that. You have to actually play well.
Yeah.
And you have to get along with your teammates. You got to present yourself to be a professional, you know, in that way. So this could go really well as an experiment. It'd be like amazing, or go the other way and be really bad. I think Kello Ware, and the problem with Ware has nothing to do with his play the last 10 games. It was his play and lack of playing time all the games that preceded it.
Correct.
So Eve Misi, for example, he's been the same guy from the beginning of the season to the end. He's played. His numbers are the same. His production's the same. The same thing with Alex Saar, even though he's been playing better lately. He's been playing all year. Same thing with Zach Edey. So you really can't fault any of the bigs they had over Ware. However, as Ryan so astutely pointed out, he's currently the betting favorite for Rookie of the Year. That one is Khalil Ware. So how is he not on this list? Like I said, that may be remedied with Jared McCain being replaced. Ryan said, just reported De'Aaron Fox is on the block. Sorry, it's off topic. So unrelated to Hoop's profile, the Discord for $2.99 for 5 Reasons Sports is where we go for all Miami Heat content, insider information. Sign up there. We already been talking about that for a little while now. So I definitely agree. What I found interesting about the De'Aaron Fox news is that he already has a destination in mind comment by Bobby Marks. This will lead me to back whenever him and Bam, when he referenced me and Bam were teammates, I'd like to play with Bam. Bam's already been in the playoffs and been past the first round and been in finals. If he's already got a destination in mind, it's not that hard to connect dots, but we'll leave that for the 5 Reasons Sports crew to dive into and talk about. On the sophomore side of things, when Jaime Hawkins Jr. made the team, so you have Bilal Coulibaly, Grady Dick. So let's do it this way. Bilal Coulibaly, no objections, right? Outstanding player.
No.
Grady Dick, I mean, he's got a better season.
I think he should be on there.
Keontae George? Scoot?
He should be on there.
Henderson?
Do you have any objections?
Henderson? He's awful. Trace Jackson Davis, Jaime Hawkins Jr. He's also had a down year, but he's been playing better of late. He's rounding into form after his injury. Derek Lively, Brandon Miller. Oh no, not that. I was looking at Leonard. I was thinking Leonard Miller, who's on the G League guy.
I was like, what do you have against Brandon Miller?
Yeah. No. Leonard Miller. Sorry. Amen Thompson, Kaysen Wallace, and one Victor Wembanyama, who should not be on there at all. I cannot believe they overreached and picked Victor Wembanyama, who has done nothing in the league. Just kidding. Any objections to any of the sophomores?
I'm looking to see, because again, like we talked about injury replacements.
Right.
Brandon Miller's out for the year, or I think he's going to be out for the year, or out indefinitely at least. Derek Lively's just got injured, and he'll be out for a while.
Right.
And so those are a couple injury replacements. I'm trying to see like who would possibly replace them.
I'm glad you asked.
Just a couple that, like, could Asar replace them? Could Anthony Black? No.
You know what's crazy? When you watch him play the Miami Heat and you look at his numbers against the Heat, he like doubles every single metric that he has. But everywhere else, he's shooting like 26% from three. He's like not facilitating. He turns the ball over a lot. Plays the Miami Heat, he becomes freaking Magic Johnson. I don't know what happens.
Is a guy like Julian Strother, who's come, like, he's, I think, made pretty significant strides, at least with this opportunity.
Right.
This year, like, is he someone that would be considered for this spot? I'm looking at Basketball Reference, just, like, glancing at names.
Where's Amen Thompson's brother, dude?
I mentioned Asar.
Yeah. Where's Asar?
I think he should be someone who is considered, I think, at the very least.
Right.
I'm just trying to look and see. Like,
according to NBA fans, Cam Whitmore should be. Cam Whitmore is the second coming of Michael Jordan, according to NBA fans.
Would a guy like, hopefully none of these guys are hurt, and I just don't realize. Could a guy like Tamani Kamara?
Maybe.
I feel like he should be someone who's, you know, considered. I think he's been, like, decent
right.
in that structure.
Right.
So I think he could be someone who's considered as an injury replacement. The Victor thing is crazy. Like, if you were Victor and if you were asked, like, would you play in the Rising Stars game, would you, like, I don't know if I would be. I would consider myself a humble individual. I don't know if I would be like, I just kind of want to save myself for the All-Star.
Right, I'll pass. Thank you.
Yeah, like I'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, if I'm Victor Wembanyama, I'm probably not playing in that game. I'm probably just playing in the All-Star game. It would be really fun is if they brought the skills competition back and made it fun again and made it like where the athletes actually competed. I would love to see Victor Wembanyama in the skills challenge. That'd be hilarious because he's just a freak of nature to watch him at 7'5" trying to dribble around these cones. That'd be hilarious.
I'm out on this. I'm out on just All-Star Weekend in general. But that's
it's good. Terrible. Dude, it's been so bad. Like, last year's skills competition was one of the worst things I've ever seen in sports history. It was so bad.
I remember it was Greg, myself. I want to say it was either Eternal Ben, someone. We were on playback for like that entire like 3.5 hours. We were just like, this was terrible.
Dude, it was so bad.
It was like, so bad.
Yeah, it was basically unwatchable. Basically unwatchable. So let's talk about this. So we know we think Ware was snubbed. There's nobody else we want to sub in. So let's talk some college basketball. I watched Georgetown play Providence, and I watched Thomas Sorber hit three after three, midi jumper, go inside, go outside, be tall, be physical, block shots, rebound. Not even the half of it. He played all 40 minutes at 7 foot tall, almost. What is he? 6'10, 6'11, something like that. Yeah. 250 pounds. He played all 40 minutes and he was impactful in all 40 minutes. I know you didn't get to watch the game, but what are your thoughts hearing that about a prospect?
It's not a bad thing.
I mean, definitely not a bad thing.
I think that's like the simplest way I can put something without why, like, it can't. When you give me that kind of analysis, it's not a bad thing. I'd have to see it for myself. But again, if you play all 40 minutes, I'm just looking at the stat line right now out of curiosity for the sake of, you know, the audience.
Right.
25-15, two steals, three blocks, 10-17 shooting, 8-14 inside the arc, 2-3 from beyond the arc, and 3-3 from the free throw line.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Tom Sorber's been someone who, like you and I have talked about before, he's been incredibly impressive to me. As someone who's kind of, you know, emerged as this draft process has gone along, I think he's only helped his stock over time.
Right.
He's flown up those draft boards and the, you know, lottery consideration. I don't know if he's like a top 10 guy yet when we do our, you know, final big board or our tier list, which we'll be doing in the coming episodes. Like,
right.
That's, he's someone who has definitely, you know, risen up the list. Like, he wasn't on our, you know, our way too early top 10, you know, right. He wasn't on our way too early top 20. Like, he's someone who's gradually climbed draft boards, and right. it's well deserved. Like,
hold on,
his verticality, his hands.
Give me 1 minute, dude. Give me 1 minute. I will. I gotta go do something real quick. So you can keep talking, but my camera is gonna be off. I'll be right back.
Okay. Like his verticality. His feel, like, he's someone to me, like, there's been a couple of games here and there. I know it, you know, the numbers don't necessarily show this, but he's gotten kind of like hosed on a couple of calls. But like around the rim, he's very vertical. Like he does a good job, you know, staying straight up,
yeah.
Jumping straight up. He's very good with his hands. Like, he's got very good coordination. And then speaking of his hands, like, offensively, like, some of the passes that he will come down with and catch, like he's got very soft hands. If you just throw it up to him, he'll go up and get it. Or if you just kind of like throw it in his like general direction, he does a very good job with his hands. And then it, like, his touch around the rim, like, I haven't quite seen the mid-range jumper yet, but I've said on here before, like, his free throw touch is something that I'm intrigued by. And I think the shooting, like, consistently will come over like an extended period of time.
Right.
And then with like his feel for the game, I think is exceptional. Like, the numbers won't always show with the assists. Like, he's only averaging 2.5 assists per game. He had 2 assists in this game that we're talking about, or the one that you referenced, but like, he does a good job. Like, he'll command the floor. Like, he'll catch at the high post, elbow, above the break. He'll direct traffic, which is something that I think for someone who's like 18, 19, 20 years old, something that's very impressive, especially for the position that he plays. Like, he is the center. They run offense through him. And I think that's something like worth mentioning. He does a very good job locating cutters. He'll make good, like, solid skip passes. Sometimes, like, with his passing accuracy, he'll miss high.
Right.
But that's not something that, like, I'm overly concerned about at all. Like, he does a good job, like, when he gets doubled from the strong side or when he gets doubled weak side, he does a good job locating, you know, the open player, making a decisive read. Considering he is 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot, he has the ability to pass over players with ease, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's something that I like a lot. Because again, like, he's decisive with it. Obviously there's stuff about his game that he wants to improve. He's very physical.
Super physical.
I want to continue to see him like play through physicality, because I don't think that's always been there, but I think he's done a good job of learning how to play through physicality.
This game was a great indicator of that.
Extra physical with them.
Yeah. This game that you didn't get to watch, he was great physically. And he had a nice left-handed jump hook, like 6 feet from the basket. Like, he just one dribble into the middle of the paint, went with the left. That speaks also to this touch around the rim. He made a lot of good backdoor passes in this game as well, but his teammates kind of let him down. They were getting pinned. They were missing stuff or fumbling the ball. He was terrific, though, in all of those areas that you mentioned. Not only does he have soft hands, dude's got hands like vice grips. Like, I love to see whenever he's going for loose balls, if he gets his hand on the ball, it's his. You know what I mean? Like, he just snatches the ball away from people. He's rapidly moving up my board as well.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to look at the bigs on this board, and I want to go through them with you. And I want to tell you who I would take either them or Sorber. So if you ask me right now, would I take Colin Murray Boyles or Sorber? I'm taking Sorber over him. Mm-hmm. If you ask me, would you take Derek Queen or Thomas Sorber? I'm taking Sorber over Derek Queen. And I'll tell you why when it comes to Queen and Boyles both. They have athletic limitations. One, they're not nearly as mobile for their size. Like Boyles is undersized. He's 6'7". Derek Queen is 6'10", but he doesn't have the mobility, I feel, that Sorber does, the fluidity in his hips and all that. He's very skilled, but he doesn't have the fluidity that you do of a Sorber, who's, and he's enormous. He's enormous. Come on, Malawach. I would take Malawach. Malawach is still probably the better prospect. Asa Newell? It's really tough.
Because I think it's tough for both Malawach and Newell.
So here's the reason why I say with Newell, too. The only thing that gives me pause, Newell's 6'11", but he's only 205 pounds.
Right.
Sorber is 6'10", 6'11", and he's 250 pounds. And he's got room to fill out his frame. So he's going to get even stronger. So I think the only big that I would take, and I'm not counting Cooper Flagg as a big. He's not a big. He's a wing. Is probably Kamon Malawach. If you had asked me this a couple of weeks ago, it wouldn't even have been a conversation. Because Sorber wouldn't have been in it.
Yeah, to me it's tough. Yeah, I go back and forth because you know how much I like Malawach.
I do.
I think with Queen, like when I was doing, like they're very close together.
Yeah.
I think something else that I think Sorber has the edge of is like, I know what I'm getting defensively.
Oh yeah.
Like
definitely.
When you watch Derek Queen and drop, it's just not like he has decent hands. Like he can create deflections sometimes on certain passes, but other than that, it's just not there. Like he's not mobile enough. He's a stat.
I've noticed some motor concerns with Queen.
Oh, you do?
I did. Yeah, he stands around quite a bit.
Like, he's so skilled offensively. Like, but I do think with Sorber, I think they have similar touch.
Yeah.
Queen and Sorber.
Yeah.
But I trust what Sorber brings defensively more, and I think that's where it's like.
And on the glass.
If you were to tell me, if you told me you would take Queen over Sorber, fine. But if you also told me that you would take Sorber over Queen, I think I'm more aligned with that.
Right.
And it's very narrow margin, but like, again, I just think Sorber's more mobile and fluid. I think the thing with Boyles is like, Boyles can move his feet well. I just have no idea what his role will be offensively to next level.
Right.
I think it's almost the opposite with me. Like opposite with Queen.
Right.
Like I know what I'm getting from Boyles defensively, at least as like somewhat of like a defensive playmaker and whatnot. I still think he's undersized, and I still think that at least for like a quote unquote big.
Yeah.
And so I think he'll run into trouble with that being kind of like a tweener 4'5" because he is 6'7", 6'8". Mm-hmm. So that's where it's like I have concerns there, even though I think he does move his feet somewhat well for his size. With Sorber, I know what I'm getting on both ends of the floor. And so that's where it's like, I think that's the tiebreaker, if that makes sense, with Sorber, Queen, Boyles, so on and so forth. Like, yeah. I have the opposite end of the floor concerns with Boyles than I do Queen. And I think it'll be very interesting to see, like, how that shapes as the season continues to go along.
Right.
But I'm just not sure how much it's actually going to change because we have this 20-game sample of Sorber. And everything that I've seen has been awesome.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. So here's what I did. I went on Tankathon. And they have a compare prospects button. I have Malawach, Boyles, Queen, Sorber, and Danny Wolf. Mind you, they, according to Tankathon, in their mock draft, they have all these guys going in the first round. Every single one of them, including Danny Wolf, 27th to Boston.
Yep.
So here we go. Danny Wolf and Malawach are the only ones that are a true 7-footer. Derek Queen, 6'10", Murray Boyles, 6'7", Sorber, 6'10". Danny Wolf, 250 pounds, Sorber, 255, Murray Boyles, 231, Queen, 246, which I don't believe, but believe he's heavier than that. Malawach is 250 pounds. With this being said, Malawach is only 18 years old when he gets drafted. Sorber is going to be 19. Everybody else is 20 and older.
Yep.
Way more upside with Sorber, way more upside with Malawach. Now, if I were to tell you, considering how slow Sorber's year started, who has more points per game out of those four? Do you have an idea what the order would be?
Between Malawach, Sorber, Wolf, and Queen?
Yeah, per 36 minutes. I'm sorry, not per game. Per 36 minutes. Between per
36.
Yeah. Come on.
That makes
Queen
a little bit harder to...
I know.
Can you do it per game?
let me scroll down. They don't have
it per game. I think they do have a per game option. I don't know about the compare prospects.
Not on the compare prospects, they don't. They don't have it.
This will be just such a blind guess.
Yes.
I don't have it in front of me, by the way.
Just who do you think has the more points? You don't have to give me a number, but
okay. Points per game. Well, yeah, I was just trying to think of like what order that I'd probably say Queen is one.
Yep.
And then would Sorber be two?
He's close. 17.1 to Colin Murray Boyle's 17.9. They're super close.
Okay, I don't think I mentioned Boyles. I wasn't thinking about him.
That's that okay. But then you have Danny Wolf ahead of Malawach at 15.2.
Okay.
What about rebounds per game per 36?
I mean, is Queen one?
Nope.
Okay. It's a little shocking to me.
Right?
That is it Wolf?
It is Danny Wolf, 12.4.
Okay. So and I was going to say, he's a monster on the glass.
I know. And then you have...
Even though in the game I most recently watched, he wasn't at all.
Right, he sat most of that game you watched. He was on the bench a lot.
For the audience, it was against Purdue. It was one of their most recent games.
Yeah, the one against Purdue, he sat most of that game. But yeah, so then it's Malawach at 11.1, Queen at 10.3, Murray Boyles 10.8, and then Sorber at 10.4. So the Queen, Boyles, and Sorber on the glass are basically the same.
Wait. Malawach has more per 36 than Queen?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't necessarily expecting that, like, just based on what he was showing early in the year.
Right.
I guess if it's per 36, it's prorated, but still.
And then Danny Wolf, 4.8 in assist. Sorber, 3.0 in assist. Murray Boyles, 2.7. Queen, 2.6. Malawach, 0.5. Does zero facilitation in that Duke offense. None.
Well, yeah, most of his stuff is self-created, and he'll just dunk it around the rim.
That's it.
Doesn't need to pass out.
That's right.
I don't know if he has that ability anyway. But.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way to know in that offense that they have, because the guards handle the ball. They don't really run secondary actions. The roller just gets the ball, shoots. Blocks. This is interesting. Sorber, 2.7. Malawach, 2.1.
Wow.
Right.
He has more than Malawach.
Yeah.
He has over a half block per 36 more than Malawach.
He blocks a lot of shots. Yep.
Wow. I knew that, but.
But the next.
Okay.
The next number is going to surprise you as well. Danny Wolf, 1.8.
Yeah, he's a solid shot blocker.
Murray Boyles, 1.5. Queen, 1.2. analytics are not kind to Derek Queen. I'm just going to tell you that. Steals per game, Boyle, Sorber, and Queen are basically the same. Danny Wolf and then Malawach is last. Danny Wolf turns the ball over like a madman because he handles the ball like a guard.
Yeah.
4.7 turnovers per game.
Boyle's, where are you at with that?
What, with Wolf?
Yeah, like I watch him and like I love some of the like I obviously for being, you know, 7 foot guy in the games that I've watched, I like right. that like how well he handles the ball. But then again, like there's multiple different times when I watch him, I'm like, all right, you're trying to do a little bit too much.
Correct. And he should be a secondary ball.
Decision making, it's just like you don't have to. And sometimes, like, you know, sometimes with, I mean, this isn't uncommon for college players, like the timing of when they throw passes and how they telegraph it, whatever. Like, sometimes right. that does happen as well. But, like, there's also times where he tries to be extra fancy and extra with it. And it's just like, I love that you have, you're capable of doing that. I love the confidence that you think you can do that.
But right. Just be big, dude, sometimes. Sometimes just be big.
Yeah.
But no, I love the fact that he can handle the ball, but at the next level, to me, he's really a secondary creator because, like you said, his passing accuracy and decision-making isn't always great.
No. No, not at all.
The other thing with Danny Wolf that I have concerns about is if you're going to be a ball-handling seven-footer like that, you got to be able to shoot off the dribble. He doesn't shoot off the dribble well at all. And in that game you watched, that was part of the problem. They put a longer wing on him instead of an actual big. He's trying to do all this ball handling and he can't get around the guys.
Something that I did write down was he like the next level. I have some concerns about how his ability to handle in traffic.
Yep.
Cause I don't think that's tight.
It's not
as well as he does it for someone who's 7 foot because he does it more. He does it as well as most 7 footers.
Oh, he does it better than most 7 footers. Yeah.
But if that's his best trait, that's got to be tighter.
Correct.
That's got to be tighter.
I agree.
Like it looks loose. It looks like I've said this before, maybe not on here, but like Brandon Ingram, every single time he dribbles, it terrifies me. It feels like it's always going to get stripped. Like he right. And he does a good job of it not being stripped, but like it just looks loose.
Yeah.
To me, when I watch Danny Wolf dribble, it looks loose, even though he's very skilled at it for someone of his size, which isn't a knock.
I agree.
But if that's your best trait, that's got to be tighter.
Definitely has to be tighter. One thing I wanted to bring up too, Malawach fouls a lot, dude. 3.8 fouls per game. Boyles fouls a lot because he's small. Danny Wolf fouls the least out of all of them. Danny Wolf does not foul often, and neither does Sorber. He's at like 2.8. Queen's pretty good at 2.6, but that's also because he doesn't really. He's not really that aggressive defensively. Here's the thing where it separates Malawach from these guys. 76% field goal percentage. 76.
Everything's around the rim, man. That'll happen.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He's also just bigger than everyone.
Right. Everybody else is about the same, like 58, 55, 52%, somewhere around there. Low volume on the 3-point attempts for all these guys, so I wouldn't even look at their numbers. Maybe Danny Wolf's because he does shoot like three, almost four per game. He's at 36% from three, which is a translatable skill at the next level, which is why I believe someone may take him end of first round, top of the second round.
Yeah.
Free throw percentage is good on Sorber, Malawach, and Queen. But yeah, man, those are my thoughts on those guys, and I have Sorber right next to Malawach, in my opinion. I think he's right up there. Analytics are not kind to Danny Wolf either, dude. His analytics are bad.
Well, it's because of the turnovers, probably.
His turnovers, the win shares, bad.
Here's another question I have, a Danny Wolf related question.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, two things. One, where do you see him defensively? Because to me, like, I don't know if I believe he's going to be someone who's going to like defend fives, because I just don't think he's strong enough.
That's a problem
that I've watched.
But that's a problem.
And then, is he defending fours? Like, is he quick enough to that's where it's like,
he's
like,
quick enough.
How we evaluated last year, what was the G League's player name? G League Ignite.
Danny Almanza?
No.
The smaller guy that shot threes?
No, Leonard Miller.
Oh, Leonard. I hated Leonard. I'd not hated him personally.
No, it wasn't Leonard Miller.
Because that was 2023. Tyler Smith.
Yeah. Leonard Miller was 2 years ago. I'm talking about Tyler Smith. Like, how it was like, I liked Tyler Smith as an offensive player.
Right.
But then when we did like deeper dives into him in the offseason on playback and whatnot, we're just like,
defensively, he couldn't really guard anybody. Right.
Yeah. And so that's where it's just like, I don't know if Danny Wolf kind of fits that mold. Like, he looks strong, but he doesn't
play strong.
He doesn't play strong. And so that's where I'm just like,
I could see him guarding fours, but at the same time, if you're 7 foot, it depends on where you land, what team you land on. Do they need size down low? Yeah. Because remember how like the Lopez brothers, like even Brooke, shoots threes or whatever, but he got better and better as a defender as he went along. I just think if he has to play down low, it's going to take time for him to be able to get on the floor because of his defensive liabilities. But I like you know what I'm really interested in? I'm interested in him going to the combine and what his like three cone turns out to be.
Yeah.
Like,
cause he moves well.
So like there's potential for him to be able to guard some wings. I know in college he does, but the way he guards wings in college is really funny. Because he just stands back by like 2 feet and uses that wingspan to contest. It's all he does. A lot of his blocks in college come for where he gets beat off the dribble by smaller players. And then he chases it down, back taps it off the glass. So I don't think he can get away with that in the pros. I think they're too explosive. So once they're by him, they're by him. But we'll see. That's something definitely to keep an eye on. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter of a pod, unless you have anything that you wanted to discuss. Just getting you back into the swing of things. We're not going to take it too far past 30, 35 minutes. I also have to finish pressure cleaning my driveway. I did that last night. Now I need to rinse it all off after I pressure cleaned it. So do you have anything that you would like to talk about before you go? Any topics, any players,
There was another Danny Wolf thing that I wanted to bring up, but I can't remember what it was.
Danny Wolf.
I can't remember what it was.
You wanted to tell me...
I remember what it was. I looked at the percentages beforehand, mm-hmm. just to get an idea of like how he was as a finisher.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, when I've watched him, he's willing. I think he's capable of finishing with both hands. But to me, his touch, and again, this kind of goes to like the physicality thing for someone who is 7 foot.
Right.
He's obviously bigger than everyone else. But where do you see him as a play finisher at the next level?
He can finish with both hands, but he's just not physical enough. He gets bumped a lot off his spots. He's a guard trapped in a 7 foot body. He doesn't realize how big and strong he is or how much momentum he can enforce. He can generate. So that's, he's not really an inside guy.
Cause again, I was the amount of reps that I've seen him get to the rim, I'll say this for the audience, has been limited. So don't come at my head being like, well, he did this on December 2nd. I didn't watch that.
Come at his head, folks.
Yeah, you at me. If you want to, I guess. I don't care.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah, come at me. But the times that I have seen him get, it just, to me, it's inconsistent.
No, I agree.
With the finishing.
I definitely agree. He's definitely an inconsistent finisher. He needs to get stronger, play more physical at the next level. But that is it for me today, guys. You can find Matt Hanifin on Twitter with his MPH underscore something something. Can't remember. Let me get him back on screen so he can tell you.
Yes, listen, Danny Wolf kicked me off. Some Michigan fan just hacked.
Don't mess with Danny Wolf. He will hack into your computer. Don't aggregate that. Don't aggregate that. But Matt, tell people.
Hey, man, listen, man, he went to Yale. He's probably smart enough to hack someone's computer.
Yeah. I'm sure. I am sure he's smart enough to even start a social network. So tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work, Matt.
At NPH underscore 824 underscore. That's where you can find me at on Twitter. You can find me PopOffHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MattRussConnection.com. You can also find me on Playback TV /5RSN, where Adele, myself, and others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network will talk about the Miami Heat, watch the Miami Heat, cry about the Miami Heat, laugh about the Miami Heat, any and everything in between. A lot of different stuff for a lot of different people. Thank you, as always, for having me on. I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back in the States, or at least on like
the mainland.
Everything's an island, but we're just on like a huge, huge part of an island, I guess is like the best way to phrase it.
There it is.
Think about that. Food for thought, people. Everyone is on it. Some are just bigger than others, or in this case, much bigger. Anyway, that's enough of me rambling and trying to sound smart when I'm not smart.
Matt, I appreciate your pontification on that and your theology lesson and geography lesson for the day. We'll, chop it up about prospects again on Thursday. I'll be on vacation for 2 weeks, but I'm going to try to do the podcast remotely. So if my audio is a little jacked up, sorry, but we're going to try to do it anyway. We'll see you guys next time. Don't forget to like and subscribe. See you later.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.